You're listening to the 69th episode of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Search security and CNET. Did you hear about the what won best in show for CNET's CES?
I heard there was something around it, but I didn't care to follow it.
Oh man!
So tell me what's going on. Maybe I'll become interested.
So the best in show actually which one was the Razer Edge. It's a gaming tablet, concept tablet for PCs. It champions Windows 8 devices, like the Microsoft Surface, and applies them to gaming. In doing so, it succeeds in showing us where tablet computing and entertainment will be heading very soon. So this cool product won the Best in Show by the CNET award winners, like, woohoo! And then it started to come out as CNET staffers started to quit in mass on I think it was like Monday, that the Razer's Edge may not have actually come in first place. It might have actually only come in second place. So what happened to the first place winner? Well, it has everything to do with what the first place winner was. The first place winner was Dish Network's Hopper. Basically what the Hopper is it's a device that it basically acts as a DVR, but it has one really cool feature that everybody likes, which is that it has the ability to automatically skip past commercials. So instead of having to hit fast forward on your DVR and then hit the back button and, you know, start playing again, it does that for you. It just skips them.
I could see how CBS would not like that.
Yes. So NBC, ABC, Fox are also not pleased, but CBS happens to hold a unique position in that CBS is the parent company for CNET. CNET, one of your huge, you know, tech coverage people. And so they found out that, okay, Dish Network's Hopper isn't in the running for the best of CES. Cool, whatever. It happens. And, you know, they're going to play it cool, although they're like in this huge legal battle with Dish over it. They're not going to get crazy. And then they, you know, everybody puts their votes in, they find out who won, and it turns out the Hopper has won the best of CES for 2013, from CNET's perspective. And I don't understand why, you know, but you listened to the show last week, and you know, or the week before. Was it the week before? I think, no, it was last week. And you know how we roll. We're interested in really cool technology and disruptive technologies and future technologies, not simple iterations on well-established technologies, but whatever. Anyways, CNET decided that
so if you're
win.
So here's what I just heard you say. Had CNET been smart enough to include us in the process, they could have avoided this entire mess.
Exactly. Well, and
that's
and,
the takeaway,
you know,
CNET.
And they exactly. And you know, let's be honest, you wouldn't have, you know, a totally boring website. If you ever
I was gonna say I wouldn't know because I don't visit it. Yeah, they're never gonna invite us.
Yeah, no, that's true. they're asking Furlough who? That's mean, guys. Anyways, yeah. So CBS basically found out that the Hopper was gonna win and decided to put the kibosh on it. They told them, "How about y'all recast your votes and keep your jobs?" At which point the CNET staff were like, I'll tell you what, we'll recast our votes, and then we're going to quit and tell everybody about this. And so they did, and CBS got in a bunch of trouble. So now not only is CNET not very edgy and not very exciting, but they're also totally corrupt and don't give you, you know, real information, whatever will please their corporate overlords. So nice job, CNET.
I love here, too, at the very end, they were just like, so we really did it just because we're in this legal court case and we just want to keep it clean. And, you know, so it's easier just to not include them at all.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, if you really believe that, that should have been at the very beginning.
Yeah.
You just, you, you got caught, and now you're trying to justify it.
Yeah, and I mean, even if it had come in second, well, what they realize is that CNET does have a huge user base. I mean, there are tons of people that read it.
Oh, yeah.
It would be one, you know, it would have been really bad news to basically, because now what you're going to do is you're going to put this product into the limelight. You're going to let everybody, you know, why do they call it limelight?
No, why do they call it limelight?
Because it came from a term where they would like the mixture that they would use to burn on stage. Had limestone in it and like ground up limestone with the oil and stuff, and so it was called like lime oil, I think, but it had this like weird lighting effect, and they would put these candles all across the front of the stage and reflect it back, and that's where all the light came from, so they called it limelight.
Good to know.
Yeah. What you learn on the furlough, bros. So basically, yeah, so they're going to put all the attention on it, and all of a sudden they're going to have this giant user base of people that were like, whoa, the Hopper, it's awesome, I can't wait for it to come out, it's going to have the greatest features ever. And then CBS was going to, hopefully, in their opinion, was going to kill the product, and it would never see the light of day, which would be rather confusing to their CNET audience. So they decided, hey, how about you all just not include it, because it's not going to be a product that exists in a couple of months. It'll never make it to the, you know, in there, that's what they want, and so they just wanted, I mean, it's such a PR thing. They didn't want it, because what was going to happen was, it was suddenly going to be explode into this gigantic story where you, your CBS, decided it was the best product out there and then killed it, you know, for your own corporate greed and / protecting, you know,
they could not win that situation.
I know, exactly.
I mean, and now I think they literally got the worst of all options. Where,
right, exactly.
You know, they're still, now they guaranteed to get blamed for trying to mess with the Hopper.
Yeah.
And it brings limelight to the entire situation and does highlight that, hey, this actually was a good product, and takes something that, yeah, okay, fine, a few people would have seen it, but, I mean, we're not talking about the nation. We right. weren't going to well, talk about it.
Okay, exactly. I wasn't going to talk about the Hopper. I think it's okay. It's an iterative improvement on a well-founded, technology. It's not a big deal, that's and funny. Now we're talking about it on the show. It just was awful. And the worst part about it is, you know what's going to happen in the long run? Dish is going to win. In the long run, Dish will win. There's no way that, I mean, like, now Dish may not be the winner, but this technology is going to eventually exist, and it's gonna, you know, make CBS lose that ability to, you know, block. You know, this isn't a battle that they're gonna win forever. It's something that so not only do they actually have to lose the battle eventually that they're fighting, they're fighting the long defeat in this one, and but they also have all this terrible coverage for themselves, and now everybody's gonna be like, what's this Dish Hopper thing? I heard something that about it. It was supposed to be the best of CES. What is this? It's just great. Oh my gosh. Nice job, CBS. Nice job. Oh, and don't forget the fact that they lost a bunch of their staff that made CNET what it is, and yeah, one of the, you know, behemoths of tech reporting. So really, really fantastic. That was great. I guess what all I can say is thanks, CBS, because that helps the furlough pros, you know, technically their competition. Nice job destroying your own product for our benefit.
Yeah, really. But speaking of products,
yeah,
there was a new one introduced this week.
I know, and you want to know what? I have spent probably zero time paying attention to it. So when I saw on Wednesday that you had already included it, I was like, okay, I'm gonna let James talk about this. I'm gonna come in totally fresh to this one. I have not been tainted in any way. So tell me about it.
All right. So Facebook Search,
yes,
was revealed. You can now search in Facebook. In our next story,
which is okay. Now, I need to hear more about this, because I was under the impression that, number one, I could search in Facebook, and number two, that the
really?
Search functionality has gotten progressively more horrible over time.
Really?
Back in the day. Facebook? So one of the things that was really
Here's
cool.
Here's what I want you to search for. I want you to see if you did any updates that were talking about, I don't know, cats. Did you do any updates that were talking about cats?
I would have no way of looking that up.
Exactly.
So
Facebook does not do search.
So, okay.
So now, so
this is what, now this
what
is
you
what's...
can do.
Okay, can I... Can do. Okay. Can I preface this just a little bit? Let me say this. I want to hear this.
You said I'm coming in fresh. Tell me about it. Go ahead.
Well, okay, I know. But back in the day, so this drives me nuts. I've never talked about this in the show. Back in the day when Facebook first came out, you could search anything on anybody's profile, and how their search algorithm worked is it just looked through all of their information and returned the best fit result. So if you were looking for, like, let's say, people who like Ender's Game, I would pop up because that was one of my likes. You could actually search through it that way. It was a very straightforward search where it just looked for matching information. But what was really awesome about it was if somebody called you and you didn't have their phone number in your phone and their phone number picked up, you could type their phone number into Facebook search and it would return the person that phone number was linked to, which back when it was just a bunch of college kids, we all put our phone numbers on it because nobody thought anything. Thought twice about it. So I could literally, if I got a random phone number and I didn't pick up, I could type into Facebook and it would tell me which of my friends it was, which was really nice because I absolutely hate having to pick up the phone and be like, "Hi, who is this?" I'm like, "This is Danny, like one of your best friends from college. Thanks for knowing who this is." I've had the same phone number for the last 10 years. Like, what's going on? Like, oh, dang it. You know, and one of those, like, you know, but that moment of social awkwardness. And they took that function away. It doesn't do that anymore. So I am here curious now. Now that I know it's a search engine, I didn't actually know what it was. I want to know what it is. Tell me about it. Sorry, I'll stop interrupting you.
So, so basically what they have done is they have taken... it's a search engine where they look at your status updates, your interests, your photos and tags, I guess. Nice. Your bio information. They call it something different than bio, but they look at all of that and search it. So you could say something like, looking for people who like Ender's Game in the Bay Area.
Oh, man.
And give you a list of those friends. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And you go, okay, cool. So let's say that you wanted to advertise a tech podcast to your friends. You could be like, friends who like technology. And it will give you your friends and probably friends of friends, maybe depending on your query, of people who like technology. And that's what it is. And their whole thing was, we're not going to give you a list of blue links. We're going to give you answers.
Ooh.
Yeah. And that was kind of where everyone was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Going on the Google's turf. And I think they said that if you do just like a regular query that they don't have the answer for, it'll do like a Bing search result, if I remember correctly, which makes sense.
Right.
So the initial feedback that I read, because I don't actually have access to it, because I'm not cool enough.
Yeah.
But that's okay. From what I understand, like, cool in concept, still working on the algorithm.
Yeah, which is not surprising. It's search algorithms are incredibly complicated. They're, you know.
Yeah, there's a reason why Google has tens of thousands of employees and a large majority of them are, you know, they do, what is it, like 200 search updates a year at least?
Yeah.
You know, just trying to kind of corral. Now, Facebook has a huge advantage in the sense that it is all highly structured data, which is really nice for the most part. It's, you know, significantly more structured than Google's, let's put it that way.
Right. Google has to look for it and then structure it and then search it.
Yeah, theirs is a lot harder of a problem. So Facebook has come out with that. And they're calling it graph search because HP, they put the word smart in front of everything.
Yeah.
Apple puts the letter I in front of everything. Facebook puts the word graph in front of everything.
Yeah.
So they have graph search. And that's just their way of letting you know that it's searching your social graph. And... Yeah, so you'll be able to find information about them. It's interesting. I'm just happy, you know, let's search. I have had multiple occasions where I'm like, oh yeah, I did a status update, or, you know, I shared a link or something on Facebook. Let me find it.
Yeah.
You know, if they just improve that one where I can search for a couple keywords on my own profile and it'll give me those updates and links and stuff back, I would just be so happy. Because I've done the, okay, I think I shared this back in November. Okay, let me go to the November part. Oh my gosh, I overshare. Okay, no.
I overshare. No. It's the term I like to use for this sort of thing, it's the control F function. It's
yeah, but Facebook, you got to have it loaded, right? Because they
right. Well, scrolling. That's what I mean. Is it's you know it's there. You know, and I realize that we're actually considered. You are considered a super user if you use Control F for web pages, and so for right. those of you that aren't super users, it's just the search the page function. You hit Control F in whatever program, type in the word, and it'll find exact character matches. Which is like the simplest of searching requirements, where it just scans everything, yeah, and finds anything that's a perfect match.
Right.
There's no trying to figure out what you're asking for and giving you the best results. And Facebook is completely devoid of being able to do that. It's actually my one problem with mobile Safari is there's no Control F. There's no way to search the page for a specific term. And I use it so much that it's like, sometimes I just completely decide I'm not going to do this. Whatever it was I was supposed to do, I'm not going to do it because I can't do it on mobile Safari. Now, in Apple's case, nobody has fixed that functionality. There might be some third-party thing that you can use for Google, but you know, you can't. But it's like the Chrome app on the iPhone isn't any better, so it's not like it's fixed. But the ability to search things quickly, especially on your page or other people's pages, and try to get through that information, you know, it allows you to, you know, it's one of the best forms of navigation, you know, especially for information dense stuff, long articles or, you know, websites where there's a tremendous amount of information on it. The ability to search for stuff is really vital. And so I'm glad to see Facebook doing this because it's one of those things where I feel like in a year you'll have wondered how you ever used Facebook without it because, you know, how are you supposed to look for stuff? How are you, you know, you literally forget how to navigate through web pages after a while, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, a really good search algorithm basically levels every website down to one frame. And by a frame, I mean a single page that fits in the frame of your screen where there's nothing bigger than that. You know, and Google, you know, if you're using Google Chrome, that's literally what you do. You search for your information in the Omni bar. It comes up with your best matches. You click the first link, you type in the keyword, you know, Control F, type in the keyword, and now center of your frame is the information that you want. And you now no longer have to navigate. You don't have to know what links to click on. You don't have to know where to type stuff. And that to me, where it's like, you know, everything, all of your information becomes two layers deep, tops, you know, two, three layers. And Facebook right now, it's like, if I want to look up somebody's phone number, I can't just type in James Furlow phone number and have it be one layer deep where I hit enter and go. No, I got to look up James Furlow. Then I got to click on this. Then I have to know to click on this. Then I have to know to scroll down to this point to find your phone number. And every time they change the layout of Facebook, you know, your phone number changes its location, which will drive you insane.
Yes. I figured it out.
Okay.
Hey, you can search web pages on mobile Safari.
How?
Oh man. Here we go. Got another tutorial coming up. Go to a web page. One of the recent searches I did was passport, so I went to the Wikipedia passport page. Okay?
Okay.
So, when you go there, you know it has that search field on it, on mobile Safari?
Yeah, at the very top.
Very top. If you search for a word that you know is in the page, in this particular case, I searched for passport, it gives you a list of, you know, search results.
Yeah.
And then you'll see at the very bottom, right?
Oh my gosh!
It says, on this page, 21 matches. Now, when you tap that, say, like, in my particular thing, it says, find passport, and then takes you to it. And then there's little arrows at the bottom, and you can jump between all of the different words on that page. Did I just blow your mind?
Yes.
There you go.
Goodness gracious. That drives me nuts.
It's not quite as easy as a, you know, Command F.
Well, wait a second. It's Mobile Safari. Nothing's quite as easy as Chrome on a computer. But that's the functionality I wanted. How did I never notice? That's been there that whole time. I never noticed it. That's... Wow. Yeah, you just click down. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. That's really cool.
There you go.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Facebook search. It's going to start rolling it out whenever they do. It's a limited preview right now, so none of us have it.
limited preview to us, Facebook. Get on your stuff.
They're taking their next step, and we'll see where it goes. I think it'll be one of those. They're making their product more usable, which I am okay with.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's cool. It's definitely, and like I said, you know, that's part of good design is the idea of flatlining all of your information, having tremendous amount of information that's easily navigatable is incredibly important, and it's unbelievably difficult to navigate, you know, the amount of information that Facebook has, and they're trying to bring the power to the people. Now, on the flip side, I've heard a bunch of like concerns, you know, the fact that your information, like, they have security stuff where, like, you can't
hide.
It's
all in your privacy settings, man. It will only search as far as you allow. Whatever your privacy settings are also the search settings. So if you only allow your friends to see your information, only your friends will see your search results. If you only allow yourself to see it, only you will see your search results.
Nice.
It's not the easiest thing in the world because you constantly have to keep in mind, okay, what level of sharing is this?
Right.
But it's addressed.
Well, yeah. That's good. Wow. That's good. I think it'll help. I think, you know, keeps people around. You know, that's important.
And in anything with Facebook, you just assume that it's public, even if you have it set as friends of friends or private. You just assume.
Yeah. That's how I operate. My modus operandi.